Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings that you give us. Lord, we pray there for the people who are sick. We pray especially for Justin and for Keith and others who have come down with this nasty stuff that's going around. We pray that you will heal their bodies, Lord. Lord, we pray for Reverend Sherman, Lord, we pray that you will comfort him, help him to feel your presence and know that you are in control of things. And Lord, we pray for the people who are mourning the loss of Darwin, Lord, we pray that you will be with them. Comfort them, Lord. Lord, this weather has brought many things on. People are suffering from that. We pray that, thank you that there weren't more people lost in Spencer, but we pray for those people that have to start all over again without building their lives in their homes, Lord. We just pray that you will be with those in a special way. Lord, we thank you for Keith's report, and we thank you that Margaret is feeling better too, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for the many opportunities that we have to witness to others about you. And we just pray that we will seek out those opportunities and use them, Lord. Lord, we pray that you will be with us as we continue on with our service this morning. For Jesus' sake, amen. At this time, I'm going to ask if anybody would like to come up and give their testimony. I kind of put them on the spot this morning.
Yeah. Just a smidgen. But immediately I was like, well, this is something we've talked about doing. I don't know if you'll talk at all, but okay. So my testimony would be that I grew up in the church as a little girl, was a Christian very early. I don't even remember asking Jesus into my heart. I don't know if any of you guys have that experience. I just always loved Jesus. But then I had rebellious teenage years and got pregnant and realized that God was actually the boss, not me. And that was pretty much like a 2x4 to the head. And I'm thankful for that because, man, he turned me around just like that. And so I rededicated my life, and we got married. Now, at the time, Mark wasn't a Christian. And after a couple years of marriage, I wasn't so sure what I thought about, you know, jumping into getting married after that. Maybe I should have just waited and all those kinds of things you think about. But God had a plan. And it's been a very unique journey. We struggled as a married couple because I was pursuing Christ. And ultimately, God put on my heart to move to South Dakota. And I sometimes jested and sometimes was serious when I said I thought maybe we'd go through a divorce. Because God said, follow me. Leave your kids with your husband. Come out here and see what God's going to do. And that was probably the hardest thing I've ever done. My mom came with me, some of you know that. But her plan was to go back. It was not actually to stay out here. And instead, God opened up doors. And my mom came out and stayed. And the boys at the time, we thought only three boys would come with us when he finally agreed that he would try it. and so... Then next thing you know, all five of our boys are out here. We went through some difficult things in our marriage, and Mark ended up accepting Christ and getting baptized. And I think if I had been disobedient to God and had said, no way, I'm not going to South Dakota. That's going to cost me my marriage. That's going to cost me my life. I would have missed out on all these blessings because now I do. We have all five boys here. And then Mark's friend Noah has moved out here from Indiana. And we talked about, you know, maybe It had nothing to do with us. You know, my mom and I, we thought maybe we had a ministry with the Lakota. That was kind of what we initially moved out here thinking God was going to open up. And instead, I'm in the Todd County Schools doing therapy, which I love. And maybe it was more about getting Noah out here. We're interested to see what God's going to do for their family because they're kind of struggling, and this is a huge thing for them. But what an amazing testimony, though, of how people ask me, well, how'd you move from Indiana to South Dakota? Why did you do that? I'm like, oh, it's a long story. Wow. It's a really long story because it had to do with my dad dying and the trips he had made to South Dakota and his passion to that I would come out here and experience it. So it's been an interesting journey, and I'm so thankful we've done it. Do you want to say anything? He's like, well, I'll come up there with you.
I hate talking in front of people. Mine started more, I'm trying to think of the right words. I would have been a good example of a bad example. That's to put it lightly. It's been years in the making. I drank heavily for years. It really put a struggle on our marriage. I came out here kicking and screaming. I didn't want anything to do with it. When I got out here, it's nice. It's a lot more peaceful for me. But I still had a struggle. And it was really Dawn's view on religion and ways I didn't want anything to do with it. Growing up, my dad took me to a Church of Christ, and that made me really almost dislike anything to do with religion. It went on. And it got to the point that, no, we weren't going to make it as a married couple. And one night I woke up and it was time, it's like God said, it's time for things to stop. And all in all, I've almost quit drinking. You know, I still like to have a beer once in a while, but you know, I'm now a six pack will last me over a week, where it used to last me about less than a day. God just says it's time for me to change, and I'm really enjoying the change, and I'm still not perfect, and I've got a long ways to go, but I feel like with my wife standing beside me and the woman that I look at now and I love more than life itself, you know, I can't believe she's stuck with me through all this.
I tried to run away to South Dakota, but he came.
And all I know is this, it's got to get better. You know, it's God must be doing something. And where it leads from this point on, I have no idea. But take it one day at a time. I got today.
It's been amazing to watch that. He'll talk to people about God and about church, and he's like, I just find myself talking to people that saying things I'd never say, and here he is standing up here. How amazing is that?
Thank you. At this time, while Jim has a reading.
Wonder what would happen if we treated our Bible like we treat our cell phone? What if we carried it around in our purses or pockets? What if we flipped through it several times a day? What if we turned back to get it if we forgot it? What if we used it to receive messages from the text? What if we treated it like we couldn't live without it? What if we gave it to kids as gifts? What if we used it when we traveled? What if we used it in case of emergency? This is something to make you go, where is my Bible? Oh, and one more thing. Unlike our cell phone, we don't have to worry about our Bible being disconnected because Jesus already paid the bill. Makes you stop and think, where are my priorities? And you will never have a dropped call.
Thank you, Jim. Just something for you to think about. How do you know where your Bible is? Do you read from it every day? Now, is there anybody else that would like to give their testimony?
Don't know if I can get through this, but as you know, the last 3 weeks have been, or a month, have been rather difficult. My husband has experienced some health issues, and the one thing, when I thought about what Don and Mark were talking about, God leading them out here to winter and doing what God asked, this has put some changes in my life as well as in Don's. I have the last month, but I've seen God do some miraculous things. And if I could encourage each one of you, would be to always look to God and say, because I come to the point when I said, God, I can't do this by myself. I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to do it. So you show me what you want me to do. And I can't tell you how many times in the last 3 or 4 weeks when I have said to God, okay, what do I do now? And a door has opened up. And one of the greatest blessings is that some of you, a lot of you don't know my husband, some of you do, but he has become a model patient. It's like he is, that's all I can, I don't know how to put it any other way. He's a model patient. He doesn't complain. He was in the hospital for 5 days, and whatever they told him to do, he did. And I'm just like, okay. There have been many aha moments in the last month when I've said, who are you and what did you do with my husband? Because he has been just very good. But I guess the thing that I have taken away from that is, all right, one of the things, it would have been 2 weeks ago today, and I said to the Lord on Saturday, I don't know whether I should go to church and leave him tomorrow. I don't know what to do. And Diane told me, she said, Mom, you'll know Sunday morning. Well, we woke up at 6:30 Sunday morning, and he was having a reaction to a pain medicine. And so he was seeing things, and I remember we wound up going to the emergency room at noon on Sunday, and I remember saying, God, you didn't have to be quite this explicit. I knew I couldn't go. But the point is, God gives me the strength, he gives me the wisdom, and he will do that for each and every one of you in whatever situation you find yourself in. But what I've learned in the last month has been a real blessing. And even though, you know, they haven't all been easy, the days haven't been, but they have been blessed because God is there with me.
Thank you, Ruth. Now, at this time, we're going to have a skit.
Simon, son of Jonah, are you the one they call Peter?
Yes, what about it?
I'm from the press corps. I'd like to ask you some questions.
Isn't there a rule against holding press conferences in temple courts?
Just a few questions, please.
Very well.
Can you comment on the disappearance of Jesus of Nazareth?
Disappearance? You sound as if you don't know where he is.
Some people say that he went into hiding because he was found out.
Found out?
Some say that the real Jesus of Nazareth never rose from the grave 40 days ago, as you claimed he did.
They say that the man who calls himself Jesus is an impostor claiming to be the resurrected Messiah.
I can assure you from first-hand knowledge that the man who claims to be resurrected, the Messiah, is Jesus himself.
But how do you know?
How do I know? I spent almost every moment in the past 3 years with Jesus. You might as well ask me. I know my own mother as not an impostor, but if you do not believe me, I ask any 500 or so of the people who saw Jesus after the resurrection.
Are you saying about 500 people saw Jesus after he allegedly rose from the dead?
Including all 11 of the remaining apostles, no doubt in anyone's mind, Jesus rose from the dead. What is possible motive that we could be lying about it? If Jesus is a phony, why would we keep telling people to trust him in their lives?
Well, if Jesus of Nazareth is not hiding, where did he disappear to?
Heaven.
Heaven? Are you saying that Jesus went to heaven?
Yes.
And you saw him go?
Me and a dozen of his followers.
You all saw him go to heaven?
Yes.
Peter, do you see the implications of what you're saying? There have been only two incidents in history where a man was seen ascending to heaven. Enoch, the son of Adam and Eve, and the prophet Elijah, who ascended to heaven in a fiery chariot. Did Jesus ascend to heaven in a fiery chariot?
No, his body is lifted from the ground and went up until it was obscured by the clouds.
Do you know why Jesus did that?
That's where he came from. He just came to the earth to visit. When his people visit was complete, he went home.
So you're saying he came from heaven originally?
That's not just what I'm saying, that Jesus is claiming all along he claimed to be the only son of God himself.
But that would make Jesus equal to God.
That's also what Jesus claimed to be.
Isn't that blasphemous?
How is it blasphemous?
It's one thing to claim to be the long-awaited Messiah. It's another thing to claim to be equal with God.
The prophet Isaiah quoted God saying, "I even am the Lord, and apart from me there is no other Savior. Therefore, anyone who claims to be our Savior, our Messiah, can't possibly be anyone other than God himself."
Well, let's assume for the sake of argument that Jesus was both God and Savior. Well, let's assume he came from heaven. Didn't he go back to heaven early?
I'm not sure. What do you mean by early?
Didn't he leave some work undone? What about the Roman army?
What about it?
Well, the Messiah was supposed to drive the Roman army into the sea.
Can you quote from Scripture that he promised the Messiah would drive the Roman army into the sea?
Well, no, I can't. But our religious leaders all expected that the real Messiah would do that. The Scripture did say that the Messiah would set up the kingdom of Israel again from the line of David. Did Jesus never set up the kingdom and he never sat on the throne?
Look, the Scriptures predicted that our Messiah would have two separate functions. The suffering of the servant Messiah, who has suffered for our sins, and two, the Messiah, the King Messiah, who would sit on the throne of David, but they are not assuming the Messiah would do both of those functions in one visit.
Are you saying that the Messiah, that Jesus, is coming down from heaven again?
That's exactly what he promised.
Can you tell us when?
Jesus would not give us a day or hour. He promised that he would not return until good news of his first visit preached every soul on earth.
That sounds like a daunting task. Why would Jesus wait that long?
It may not take that long if everyone who hears the good news tells just two people per day within 20 days. 1 million people would hear the good news. That means that potentially Jesus could come back within a few weeks or months if everyone does their job. Now, will you excuse me? I have to get back to Galilee. I should get started.
Thank you, Peter.
I've got a question for you. Have you told someone about Jesus lately? I'd like to give you a challenge for this week. Go out. Tell someone about Jesus and what he's done for you in your life. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we pray that you will help us to witness for you, that you will give us the courage, Lord, and that what we say and what we do will be pleasing to you. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. And Jesus, coming up, spoke to them, saying, "All power has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have enjoined you. And behold, I am with you all of the days until the completion of the age. You are dismissed.